This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Polls show razor-thin margins in Michigan in the race for the White House. Donald Trump and Kamala Harris courting undecided voters in the swing state today. Reports from the Trump campaign that the former president has canceled some interviews, saying he's exhausted. Harris in Grand Rapids ahead of a rally accusing Trump of dodging tough interviews.
Being president of the United States is probably one of the hardest jobs in the world, and so we really do need to ask if he's exhausted being on the campaign trail. Is he fit to do the job? And I think that's a question that is an open-ended question that he needs to answer.
Trump holds a rally in Detroit area later tonight. Israel says in addition to killing Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar, Israeli forces also killed the man responsible for guarding him. President Biden in Germany today telling reporters the death of Sinwar marks an inflection point and pushed Israel to finalize a ceasefire deal. In California, utility companies cutting off power in areas where the fire danger is high, winds and severe heat gripping the region. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More families in Wisconsin are taking exemptions for routine childhood vaccinations than most other states. The state immunization program says about 85% of Wisconsin kindergarten students are up to date on their measles, mumps, and rubella shots. The national average is closer to 93%. Voting rights groups are ramping up their efforts after young adults in Wisconsin got intimidating text messages about voting. Molly Carmichael is a recent college graduate and a member of the League of Women Voters.
Right off the bat, I was pretty upset because I figured this was also going out to other people, maybe people who have never voted before and are excited to vote this November. And so getting a text like that would certainly be really alarming.
Critics say the intent is to scare young people into not voting. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Two reports of white powder has led to an arrest. Tuesday morning around 11:10, the Iowa County 911 Center received a call on County Highway Q in the township of Dodgeville in reference to a suspicious bag of white powder in a mailbox. Then around 12:15, the 911 Center received a call on East North Street in the city of Dodgeville regarding a suspicious bag of white powder in a mailbox. In both cases, law enforcement was able to remove the bag and test the substance. Both bags tested presumptive positive for the presence of fentanyl and cocaine. Tyler W. Marking, 29, of Dodgeville, was taken into custody at 6:10 Tuesday night. He was transported to the Iowa County Jail, where he remains on a probation hold. Marking was also booked on charges of felony second-degree recklessly endangering safety, felony delivery of cocaine, felony delivery of fentanyl, felony possession of psilocin, and misdemeanor possession of drug paraphernalia. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks preseason ends with a loss. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing in Dallas 109-84. Doc Rivers playing a lot of his younger players. What did he think of watching Giannis and Damian Lillard coaching the rookies?
I loved it. I just think we got so many young guys on our team. The way they can be taught right is by obviously the coaches, but really the players. And when we have a group of guys that are invested in our young guys, I think that's going to pay dividends.
NFL, the Green Bay Packers play the Houston Texans Sunday, featuring quarterback C.J. Stroud. The Packers have 17 takeaways this season, the most in the NFL, thanks to new defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley, who says they have a team meeting called The Ball, where all they do is talk about turnovers.
We're talking about it each week. It's not just talk. It's not like hearsay, like, hey, we're going to attack the ball and be good at taking away the ball. We've dedicated a whole meeting to it. When I was in San Francisco with the Niners, Kyle had me do that meeting every Thursday for 2 years.
That's Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Bright, blue, beautiful skies all weekend long. As winds continue to stay feisty today, up to 25 miles per hour, it'll shove our highs to the low 70s today and tomorrow. And then we get bumped up to the upper 70s on Sunday. All while fall colors across the state are peaking. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 68.
The Dom Salvia Show.
And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
What Jesse happens Water. When a woman votes for a man?
Turns into a man.
Well, that's okay, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, because then she gets control of her body.
Oh.
Ah, see what I did there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, my guest for Freaky Friday is Racine paranormal investigator Ron Helmick, who brings actual audio footage of a ghost. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr stops by.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
What's up, Wisconsin? How y'all doing? Happy Friday. Hope you've got a wonderful weekend planned. We're going to have some beautiful weather mostly across all of Wisconsin. That always makes for a good fall weekend. And of course, we've got a great show for you here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I love Fridays because, of course, at the end of the show at 3:30, Terry Barr joins me for what's good, local, and overlooked here in Wisconsin. We might even be talking about scary movies that we all enjoy and would invite you to participate in that discussion. That's going to be in the 3:30 block, folks, kicking it off today.
And we seem to be having some slight technical difficulties. Please hold on with us. Maggie will be right back as she reboots her internet. I hope that you're enjoying this fantastic weather.
His name is Mike Matowitz. He's the principal economist for the Roosevelt Institute, which is a think tank that focuses on corporate versus public power, labor and wages, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Really smart guy. We're going to talk about inflation. So you're not going to want to go anywhere for the entire show. And of course, today is Senate debate day. Very exciting. I'm going to a wedding this afternoon, which, boy, did they luck out for the weather this afternoon. So happy wedding to Mike and Katie. You know who you are. I'm going to be going to the wedding and probably streaming the debate while I'm at the reception because I don't want to miss any of it. And of course, I will be streaming it on the Civic Media Radio Network because we've got you covered for tonight's Tammy Baldwin. The senator tees off against Senate candidate carpetbagger, 100 millionaire a few times over, Californian Eric Hovde. Who wants to cut Medicare and Medicaid and veterans benefits and raise the age of Social Security and considers himself part of the 1%. Yeah, that guy. Their debate is tonight. Civic Media is going to carry it. Our coverage starts across the network at 6:50. The debate kicks off at 7. And then, of course, Civic Media will have some post-debate coverage. So if you don't have Friday plans, now you do. But today... I wanted to start with the charity event, the Catholic Charities event that occurred yesterday evening in New York City. This is the Al Smith or the Alfred E. Smith Memorial Foundation Dinner, which is an annual event. Usually in New York City. White tie, very fancy Nancy affair, and politicians make fun of themselves, and it raises money for Catholic charities. More on that in a minute. Because there's a Milwaukee connection with the Alfred E. Smith Memorial Foundation dinner. I'll get to that Milwaukee connection in a few moments. But to set the stage for some of Donald Trump's jokes yesterday at a Catholic charity dinner, I thought we should have some appropriate context. And I think one of my wonderful producers that help out the Maggie Dawn Show, Jess, put together these cuts. And I think she agrees. Some context before we get to the Trump jokes. And I'm putting air quotes around jokes.
Big air quotes.
Big air quotes. Mm-hmm. Is probably necessary. So let's start with this ad that started this week. It's being run by a PAC. Let's start with this advertisement. Take a listen here.
I think we should also put just a little trigger warning ahead of this. This does describe sexual assault.
Thank you, Jess.
My name is Amy Doris. In 1997, I attended the U.S. Open. We went to Donald Trump's VIP box. I went into the bathroom. When I came out, Trump was standing there. He was not waiting to go to the bathroom. He was waiting for me. He kind of grabbed me and tried to kiss me. He was touching me all over my body. I pushed him away. I could not move. He just shoved his tongue in my mouth, started kissing me. It was so forceful. It was not pleasant. It was not welcomed. It was not consensual. I literally used my teeth to push his tongue out of my mouth. It was violating and it was traumatic. I thought it was my fault. Seeing the Access Hollywood video made me realize that Donald Trump is a serial sexual predator. He says he's going to protect women. He harms women. He has no respect for women. It is a danger to our society to put this man back in the White House. It's like, when will this stop?
Anti-Psychopath PAC Inc. is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Yeah, that PAC, Anti-Psychopath Inc. So that for some context. And let's take a cut 3.5, Jess, and take this for a wee bit of context as well.
No, I don't want to be nice. You know, somebody said, you should be nicer. Women won't like it. I said, I don't care.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That guy.
Mm-hmm. That one.
That guy. And then, you know, since it's been all the rage this week, I would be remiss if we didn't listen to this bit of context and framework, if you will. Cut number 7, please, Jess.
Kamala Harris is warning voters about a new phrase Donald Trump has been using to describe some of his fellow Americans.
It's the enemy from within, all the scum that we have to deal with. That hate our country, that's a bigger enemy than China and Russia.
The enemy within. Trump used the phrase again in an interview with Fox News yesterday when he was asked whether he expects chaos on Election Day from outside agitators.
I think the bigger problem is the enemy from within, not even the people that have come in and destroying our country. By the way, totally destroying our country. The towns, the villages, they're being inundated. But I don't think they're the problem in terms of Election Day. I think the bigger problem are the people from within. We have some very bad people. We have some sick people, radical left lunatics. It should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military.
Yeah. So that guy. That guy, speaking at an annual Catholic fundraiser gala attended by the Archbishop of the New York Diocese, the largest diocese in the country. In fact, the Archbishop sat right next to Donald Trump. What do you think might be going through his mind? Especially when it came Trump's time, you know, to tell some self-deprecating jokes. Like, that's kind of what the point of this is. So we're going to roll these, Jess, if you don't mind. I think we can just roll one after the other because this is how they came out of his mouth. Let's take a listen.
Sure.
I must say I was shocked when I heard that Kamala was skipping the Al Smith dinner. I'd really hoped that she would come because we can't get enough of hearing her beautiful laugh. She laughs like crazy. We would recognize it any place in this room, and all polls are indicating I'm leading big with the Catholic vote.
How that's related, I'm not sure.
Right now, we have someone in the White House who can barely talk, barely put together two coherent sentences, who seems to have mental faculties of a child, it's sad. There's a person that has nothing going, no intelligence whatsoever, but enough about Kamala Harris. Let's get on to something else. Chuck Schumer is here looking very glum. Doesn't he look glum? He looks glum. But look on the bright side, Chuck, considering how woke your party has become. If Kamala loses, you still have a chance to become the first woman president. I used to think the Democrats were crazy for saying that men have periods, but then I met Tim Walz.
And don't worry, he did address the self-deprecating part.
Yeah.
Tradition holds that I'm supposed to tell a few self-deprecating jokes this evening. So here it goes. Nope. I've got nothing.
Shocking.
I've got nothing. There's nothing to say.
So let's recap, shall we? The serial sexual predator, fraudster who stiffs working people, the guy that talks about the enemy from within, calls Democrats for disagreeing with him evil, sick, and lunatics, who makes jokes about someone's sexual identity, who doesn't care about being nice to women, who is a flaming out proud racist who trades in the most vile sort of language. Yeah. This is who we want telling jokes. A man who has exhibited absolutely zero sense of humor ever in an entire life, least of which a sense of humor about himself. Yeah, let's have that guy who wants to be a dictator for a day. Let's have him tell some jokes at a Catholic charity fundraiser. This is really gross. Of course, it won't make any difference. But it was really gross for an entirely different reason. Donald Trump, totally inappropriate. The complete lack of awareness, of what sort of message that would send. Does it really surprise anyone that the Catholic Church might miss the boat on that one? You're going to want to stay tuned because I'm going to tell you what was really deeply offensive about that event. And the number one offensive thing was about it wasn't Donald Trump. You'll be surprised to hear. I want to hear your comments and thoughts. I'm going to share what was truly the number one most offensive thing about the Al Smith charity fundraiser, the thing that tainted it all, the 8,000-pound gorilla in the room. When we come back, you're going to want to keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
News from the center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going.
slower. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure. Down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are back on the road to face Northwestern. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, WRCE.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back, y'all, or welcome if you're just joining us. Happy Friday. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got my hair on fire as I usually do these days, given the politics. But the object, the number one object of my ire today isn't Donald Trump, though his remarks at yesterday's Al Smith Memorial Foundation dinner were disgusting, transphobic, misogynist, race. I mean, he checked all of the ism boxes. Like, oh, is there a terrible thing to be? Oh, I'll check the box on it. Fascism, all of it. Checked all the boxes. Some more than once. If you've got thoughts on it, of course, I want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Of course, gosh, wouldn't you like to see me at one of these events? Jess, I mean, get me up there after this guy.
You would take down the house.
I mean, it would be good. I might even tell a joke that went something like this after Donald Trump spoke. Oh, Cardinal Dolan, I would highly recommend that you lock up all of your donation boxes that are by the exits, you know, because he's got these little hands. He can just slip right in there. Steal all the money. Yep. That's actually Kurt from Madison's joke. Thanks much for that, Kurt. I'll steal some material, but a tribute. Here is why I am so completely grossed out by this. And y'all know, if you've been listening to the show, I was raised Catholic. And I have a deep respect for what I think are the most core and fundamental teachings of the Catholic faith. Humility, forgiveness, openness. But here's what was especially gross about this. The very day of this charity fundraiser, this white tie, fancy pants, roses on the table, waiters with white gloves, glittering crystal. The very day of this fancy charity Catholic fundraiser, an $880 million settlement was announced by the Diocese of Los Angeles, stemming from sexual abuse of minors dating back to the 1940s. On the very same day. Wow. Wow. And you're going to have a fundraiser? I hope those funds go to pay the abuse victims, but they won't. And Cardinal Dolan, sitting there on the dais, the cardinal of the largest diocese in the country, next to this serial sexual predator, this racist, this misogynist, this threat to democracy, sitting there smiling and laughing on the day of this settlement, which of course went unmentioned at the dinner. And Dolan, mind you, was the mastermind and frankly, the enabler in chief, if you will, the apologist for the pittance that sexual abuse survivors in Milwaukee, in the Milwaukee Archdiocese, received in their settlement. Just to put this in context, the $880 million after you take out a third for lawyers' fees is about $616 million. That settlement in the LA Diocese is going to 1,353 victims. That comes out to about just under $500,000 a victim. In contrast, because the Archdiocese of Milwaukee hid their money into a cemetery trust, and because they had sucked the money out of the Archdiocese, then filed bankruptcy, sealed these claims, and settled for pennies on the dollar because they hid their money. The Milwaukee Archdiocese, in contrast, paid their victims just over $60,000 apiece. That's not enough to cover even a lifetime's worth of therapy that would be required for sexual abuse victims. That is what I found truly disgusting. What a tone-deaf and utterly insensitive performance by Archbishop Dolan and the Catholic Church yesterday. Not the least of which was entertaining a man like Donald Trump as one of the keynote speakers. Cindy from Appleton, your thoughts this afternoon.
Well, Maggie, I was actually down in Milwaukee about a week or so ago for the Nuns on the Bus tour.
Oh, awesome.
And that many of the Catholic nuns are out there preaching that we cannot have this man back because he's such a dangerous thing to the country. Unfortunately, no matter what he says, the criminal or the felon does or says or does or whatever crazy stuff he pulls, it doesn't matter because he's going to win because over 50% of this country, for some reason, has fallen into this cult, and I can't for the life of me understand it.
Yeah, I don't understand the cult either, Cindy, but what I will say is this. Thanks for the call. He's not going to win, and it's not over 50% of the country. Remember that a third of the country basically doesn't vote. So what you're talking about is far, far less than 50% of the country. And here's the other thing that made me really angry about this event yesterday. Just earlier this month, a ruling came down from a federal district court here in Wisconsin denying Attorney General Colina's office access to some of the sealed documents from the Catholic Archdiocese in Milwaukee's bankruptcy that they were trying to use to help investigate these abuse claims. And of course, guess who opposed their access to these documents? Yeah, you guessed it. The Milwaukee Archdiocese. Gary from Sussex, you say what?
Are you concerned about getting hate mail from the Catholics in Milwaukee here listening to the radio? Because you are really coming down on them.
They deserve every bit of it, Gary. And if I do get hate mail, I'd like to have a conversation with that person. Is what the Milwaukee Archdiocese did acceptable? Do you know an abuse victim? Have you sat down with them face to face and talked about what the Catholic Church covered up and allowed the predation on children for decades? I'm not worried about the hate mail. I'm worried about the thing that happens after the hate mail, which is the conversation. It's the most important part. Folks, if you're on the lines, we'll get you in on the other side of this break. Then we'll be joined by Chris Alfheim. She's running for the 8th District Senate here in the state of Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. It's always lively here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin cheesemakers make a move to protect their most valuable assets, their employees. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. I'll give you details on this new alliance with OSHA next.
There I was, driving along, when I saw the corn laying down in the field, goosenecked again. Even though I tried everything, new traits, existing soil insecticides, every corn grower knows the hassle of gooseneck corn. But now there's Narisma Insecticide from BASF, a better, stronger in-furrow insecticide that controls corn rootworm and below-ground pests. Stand up for your corn with Narisma Insecticide. Ask your authorized BASF retailer about Narisma, and always read and follow label directions.
This new alliance announced yesterday in Madison involves the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and the Wisconsin Safety and Health Consultation Program. They're boosting their relationship to support their most important asset, their employees. Rebecca Sweeney with the Wisconsin Cheesemakers explains.
We're really excited to enter into an alliance with OSHA because dairy processors believe that their most valuable asset are the people who work for them, right? The people who work every day to make delicious, nutritious dairy products. It's critically important that we work with regulators as opposed to at odds with them. And for the past 2 years now, we've had a very open dialogue with OSHA about things like lockout, tagout, machine guarding, hazard communication. And what we've seen is a real reduction in the number of any even minor incidents within dairy processing facilities.
Rebecca Sweeney, she's with the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. Under this new alliance, they're sharing information on safety laws and standards and OSHA initiatives. They're encouraging communication between OSHA and industry to provide input on issues and try to innovate safety solutions, and they're developing resources for the dairy processing industry on common workplace hazards, worker rights, and employer responsibilities. More available at MidwestFarmReport.com.
What makes Dairyland Seed silage unique? Better. Designed specifically to maximize tonnage potential in the upper Midwest, Dairyland Seed silage products contain higher starch content and the highest level of fiber digestibility for optimized milk production. And to help get even more milk in the tank, these elite genetics are supported by your dedicated local dealer and direct access to a team of leading agronomists and silage experts. Better silage, better support, better results. That's the Dairyland Seed difference. Meet our 2025 lineup at DairylandSeedSilage.com.
And the Wisconsin DNR is suspending burning permission in 25 counties across the state of Wisconsin due to our dry weather. Again, more at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Bright, blue, beautiful skies all weekend long. As winds continue to stay feisty today, up to 25 miles per hour, it'll shove our highs to the low 70s today and tomorrow. And then we get bumped up to the upper 70s on Sunday. All while fall colors across the state are peaking. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend's news, get you up to date, and mark early voting in person starting on Tuesday. Be with us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
One.
talking in my sleep at night, making myself crazy.
Well, folks, this one's got me going out of my mind. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to be joined in just a couple of moments by candidate for the 18th Senate District, Chris Alfheim. So excited to speak with her. But before that, I promised you all that we would close this topic out together. I've been triggered, I guess would be a word, by the Catholic charity dinner last night, the L. Smith Memorial Foundation dinner, white ties, crystal, champagne, roses, very fancy, New York City. Not only because they invited Donald Trump, not only because he told completely disgusting and inappropriate and disqualifying jokes, not only because he sat next to former Milwaukee Archbishop Dolan, but also because on the day of that dinner, the Catholic Diocese in Los Angeles announced an $880 million settlement to 1,353 victims of church and priest-related sexual abuse. Not only because of that, but because Dolan sitting there was one of the leaders of the Milwaukee Archdiocese that helped that archdiocese drain money from its coffers by slamming their funds into a cemetery trust and then declaring bankruptcy. So that when compared to the settlement in LA, Milwaukee victims got a paltry just north of $60,000 apiece. Can you imagine that, being sexually abused by a priest for years and they cut you a check for 60 G's, whereas the LA Archdiocese, those victims are getting just under $500,000 each. Shame. I was asked just before the break by one of my favorite callers, Gary from Sussex, if I fear hate mail from Catholics. I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic grade school. But that Catholic upbringing taught me the difference between right and wrong. And what's wrong is what the Milwaukee Archdiocese did. What's wrong is that Archbishop Dolan was effectively promoted to the Archdiocese in New York by helping to perpetuate that wrong. $60,000 doesn't make a victim whole. Frankly, it's kind of insulting. And by the way, I think it's even lower than that, because I didn't adjust that $21 million. I'm actually going to do math on the air, everybody, because it's important to get this right. So $21 million less about $6 million in fees lives about $15 million. That was the size of the Milwaukee settlement. And that went to some 330 victims. Oh, yeah. That's $45,000 apiece. And it's not just that. The fact that just this month, the Milwaukee Archdiocese blocked in federal court Attorney Josh Call's effort to unseal some of the evidence relating to abuse that came up and out during their bankruptcy proceeding. Objected to it successfully. So more cover-up. The whole thing just grosses me out to no end. Mary from Mount Horeb texting in and saying, what strikes me about Gary's call is how seemingly acceptably he referred to the activity of hate mail. Like, oh, of course that's going to happen. Mary says this, as someone who is also raised Catholic, I would find it hypocritical for practicing Catholics to engage in hate mail. I'm with you, Mary. We need to be able to have these conversations and call wrong out when it's wrong. That's part of the problem of today. Matt from Middleton, you say what?
Hey, Maggie, I want to remind people that a lot of people thought Donald Trump ran for president because Barack Obama made fun of him at the Correspondents' Dinner. But I wanted to bring up Condoleezza Rice was on the Bulwark podcast, and she basically said, which is true, that MAGA and Donald Trump's campaign is a campaign of civil war. It's all about violence and intimidation and minority rule. And people like Gary, who put their pocketbook ahead of country and ahead of the well-being of others, you're just not a good person, in my opinion, and you need to look in the mirror.
I hear you, Matt, and I think people are good people, And we've got to try to speak to their better angels to call them out from the darkness. Come to the light. It's a big tent. We're here for you. I know one of those big tent bridge builders. She is my very special next guest. My next guest is Chris Alfheim. She's running for the 18th District Senate seat here in Wisconsin. Got a damn good chance of locking that one up. So excited to have you back, Chris. Thank you for your patience in getting to you. I needed to let people air out some of their feelings about this last topic. Welcome back, Chris.
No, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, those were pretty heavy topics we just headed in with, and I'm just going to sit here and shake my head. I'm not going to chime in on that. I'm going to make the face I feel.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to shake my head. It's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. Folks, if you want to see Chris's facial expression and mine every day because I got a terrible poker face, don't forget you can always catch my show and the entire talker lineup on Civic Media's YouTube channel and streaming live on Facebook. Chris, this is the last stretch before the voting begins shortly, right? And then concludes on November 5th. The Fox Valley, this is where everybody is talking about. This is the hot spot in the state, no doubt.
It is.
Your opponent has said some complicated and uncomfortable things. What do you want voters up in the Fox Valley in the 18th district to know about what are your top priorities and the contrast that you want to draw between yourself and your opponent?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is I want to talk about the real problems that we're all feeling at our kitchen table. And I want to talk about the solutions. I don't want to talk about fringe issues that aren't actually affecting kitchen tables, because we do have issues. It is more expensive today. We do have to deal with the fact that childcare is out of control and unavailable in many cases. We do have an issue with the employee base and making sure that we have a great crew of people ready to continue the efforts in the business and manufacturing district of the Fox Valley. We do have an issue with women having rights taken away from them. Those are real issues. And those are issues that are hitting our kitchen table. And everything else right now, again, if it's not impacting our kitchen table, it should not be at the top. That doesn't mean that we can't talk about those things. But should they be our number one issue? No. Let's be real. Without question, the people of the Fox Valley want, and the people of Wisconsin, want to move forward. Yes. They don't care if you have a red flag or a blue flag, what they are tired of you standing on the edge and not doing anything about it. So I am all about find the purple in every conversation. Not every good idea comes from the side of the blue. Not every good idea comes from the red. And neither side is always wrong. And we have to get back to acting that way. In the Fox Valley, and I truly believe this is a magnificent district, we are now Appleton, Menasha, Neenah, and Oshkosh. We have four medium-sized communities. When you put those together, our district is actually one of the, if not the number one most urban district. Mm. We have four big school districts. We have four municipalities that both have been strangled financially for over a decade.
Yes.
We must remedy. We have more globally recognized manufacturing industries in our district than most others. We have more small businesses and healthcare facilities than most other districts. We not only are in charge of taking care of ourselves, our 154,000 voters, but all these other districts rely on us to be the resource, the center for business, the jobs, the healthcare. We are so incredibly important. And it is wonderful and really needed that the four communities are now one body. And we can function together for the good of the Fox Valley to ensure that we are the best place to live, to work, to raise a family, to open a business, to do all of those things. And it will take a balanced mindset to ensure that happens.
Folks, that's Chris Alfheim. She's running for the 18th Senate District. She's going to be on the ballots. If you are up in that Fox Valley area in the communities of Neenah and Menasha, Oshkosh and Appleton, it is when I look at sort of the economic engines of the state of Wisconsin, of course, you've got southeastern Wisconsin, right? You've got the excitement around our flagship university in the state capital of Madison. But there is no question that in that top three has always been the Fox Valley. And I think Chris, your points about having those four large school systems, right? Mm-hmm. The manufacturing presence, the desirability of that region of the state to live in, it is a bellwether in my mind, because it is so relatable. The struggles and what people are feeling and thinking is really universal, right? It is this cross-section of not just Wisconsin, but America in a very meaningful way. When you talk about building an environment that is supportive of manufacturing and small businesses, ensuring adequate local governmental funding, you talked about education. If you could give people just a little taste of what your ideas are from a small business, manufacturing, and educational perspective. And I also want to toot your horn a wee bit. You are a member of the Appleton Common Council. You're the vice president of the council. And every time I see someone that's served in multiple levels of government, that is a person that I trust, because you've actually seen the operation of government and you know what it's about. So if you wanted to just address those subject matter areas a bit, Chris, I'd love to hear more.
Yeah, what irritates me is when conversations take place in silos.
Yes.
If the conversation we talk about is funding schools, that's not the right way to deal with it. If the only way we talk about the employment issue and needing more workforce development, that's a mistake. We have to realize that whether it be childcare, whether it be education, whether it be a library in your community, all of that is part of making a community attractive to bring in talent as well as maintain that talent as they grow through our school system. If you want to talk about the K through 12 system, if you want to talk about the university system, SD18 has the University of Oshkosh. We have organizations, including the healthcare industry, that desperately needs people to work, get a career, and stay here. Why would we starve a four-year program that offers programs that we need and then complain that we don't have enough people? You can't do that. And so what I beg of people is that they understand that every issue that's out there is a much more complex issue than a talking point. We have to realize that in this day and age, I don't care who you are, if you are trying to help the community be better, if you're trying to reduce crime, if you were trying to get people off of welfare, the answer is help kids get educated, make sure they're food, they're housed, they're healthy, and they're educated. If we do that, it is the best thing we can do for our future selves. Children are our community. They are our bosses. They are our business owners. They are our employees. We have to realize that is part of our obligation and our opportunity in Wisconsin, period. And then we have to look at our communities. Every one of us is feeling the pinch, right? That's a reality. We have to accept that. Groceries are more expensive. Our property taxes are up. Why are our property taxes up? Probably because our municipalities and our schools are 38% behind in funding where they were a decade ago. Where do the funds come from? The municipalities and the schools are then having to retain that or to push that out onto the taxpayer. We can address that. Proper funding. You want to talk about what to do with the excess budget? How about we just pay off some of the debt that's been accrued in these municipalities? Just pay it off. That would immediately help us all be better. We can come up with answers that will help us all.
Yeah, as the state sits on billions in surplus.
There's a reason it's there.
There is a reason it's there. And the knee jerk of, oh, let's just give everybody like tax rebates and tax refunds does not address these underlying problems that impact every community across the state, urban, rural, industrial, agricultural, no matter what your demography is, it's touching your community. I'm so excited. Chris is going to stick around for another segment. I'm joined this half hour by Chris Alfheim, candidate for the 18th Senate District here in the state of Wisconsin, up in the Fox Valley. If you live there, she will be on your ballot. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We dig in more with Chris after these brief messages.
From the center, WRCE.
Questions you might hear a lot this fall.
Will my team make the playoffs? How much snow are we getting this winter? And whatever happened to Tammy Baldwin? After 25 years in D.C., Baldwin sides with the extreme left. Baldwin voted to give nearly $1 billion in COVID relief money to criminals in prison, even the Boston Marathon bomber. That's nuts. And she supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters to admit biological men who claim to be women. Baldwin even backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. So here's one more question. Now that Baldwin's gone so far left, why should we keep her in the Senate? It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I like the sunny days, especially the nice fall sunny days. I hope it is just as beautiful where you are as it is here in southeastern Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm broadcasting from downtown Waukesha here on the WAUK, but we broadcast statewide, y'all. If you can't get us on your radio, don't worry. There's the Civic Media app. You can go get that for free wherever you may get your apps, and you can always listen to us online at civicmedia.us. And you want to listen because we've got great guests like the one I've got this half hour. Her name is Chris Alfheim. She is the Senate candidate for the 18th district here in the state of Wisconsin. If you live in the Fox Valley district, if you're in Neenah, Menasha, Oshkosh, or Appleton and the surrounding areas, she is going to be on your ballots starting, I think early voting starts on Monday. Is that, do I have that
Tuesday.
Right? Tuesday. Start. Of course it would start on Tuesday. And then we've got, of course, early voting from Tuesday all the way through Election Day. And folks, thanks for that reminder, Chris. On Tuesday, this coming week, on my show, I am going to go through the nuts and bolts of voting. If you're voting mail-in, right? If you have moved in the last year and you need to prove your new address, I'll go through what kinds of proof work to change your address and register same day. All that good stuff, everything you've ever wondered about, I'll take your questions. We'll talk about that. And then we'll do it again in the afternoon slash early evening across the Civic Media Radio Network with some of my great co-hosts. We'll dig in again. So if you have questions, get your pencil sharpened. Tuesday, we're going to have all that info for you here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Chris, thanks for making time. It's always so refreshing to talk with you. It is very clear when you talk about issues that you see these problems, both these challenges, these opportunities for folks in the 18th district and across the state, as the complex challenges that they are, but also the interrelationships between the issues. Yeah. And that's something that I've always enjoyed about public policy, right? That these things are complicated and they are interconnected. But I often feel like politicians present them as sort of binary choices and transactional siloed issues. And the reality is that they're not.
Right.
You grew up on a small family farm.
Yep.
So I wanted you to address folks that are still in the farming business. It's been a hard go of it for family-owned farms here in the state. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to speak to that.
Yeah, I am a farm girl. I love the fact that I'm a farm girl, by the way. I have been endorsed by the Farm Bureau this year, which I think is, I'm very proud of that. What I look at is there are issues. There are issues that we need to address. But what I would like to see is the industry as well as the group. So for instance, the environment. It by and large, all of us are now recognizing that it is important to address our environmental issues. Most of us, we agree clean air and water are very important. As a farm girl, I will tell you, I've never met a farmer that didn't want their animals, their land, their community to be healthier. Their entire livelihood depends on that fact. So when we talk about solutions, I don't want to see the solutions coming only from the scientists. I want to see the scientists and the farmers and the communities work together to say, what can we do? What have we already done? What have we learned? And how do we layer that in together? We need to stop the us versus them attitude on many, many issues. And agriculture certainly feels that. As someone who grew up on a farm, you understand that things happen on a farm. The animals are not always the best smelling thing. It happens. Mm-hmm. So there's realities where as communities start to infringe on agricultural space, then we can't just ask them to not be farms. So there's communication issues, there's understanding issues. And I think, again, it's not my job to know all the answers. It's to be empathetic for all sides of an issue and say, how can we come together and realistically make this work? Agriculture is who we are at our base. Good people is who we are at our base, and problem solvers are who we are at our base. So let's start putting those facts together and actually working forward together for the good of the planet, the air, the water, the animals, and everybody else.
It's for our collective benefit, and it will require collective decision-making and collaboration. Couldn't agree with you more. I also know that reproductive freedom and making sure that every Wisconsinite has the dignity of healthcare are central to you. Kristen, if you could address those in our last couple of minutes here.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I grew up in a household with a pro-life Catholic mom. And I had the little lapel pin, the little baby feet lapel pin.
Oh, my God. Sorry, so did I.
Yeah.
Exact pin.
Mm-hmm. So I will tell you, I have great respect for those that have deep feelings on this topic. And I will tell you, in my last election in 2019, I hesitated to use the word abortion out loud. Because it's just I've been raised in that connotation. But I will tell you, I am a far more educated person today on the realities of how many people, how many women, how many situations there are that need decision making in a difficult situation. And that should be done between a doctor and the person, period. I don't want it to go to the federal government. I don't want it to go to the state government. I don't want it to go to referendum so the majority can vote on it. I would like it to go to the person who has to make that very difficult decision. That is the end of that conversation. That's where it should start. That's where it should end, period.
Folks, that's Chris Alfheim. You can find out more about her candidacy and positions at alfheimforwisconsin.org. Check it out. You're in the Fox Valley in District 18. She's going to be on your ballot. She's a friend of the show and now a friend of yours. Keep it locked. Maggie and the Millionaires coming up next. We're going to talk inflation here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Matt Rothschild subbing in for Dom Salvia on the next show. I'll be joined by firebrand Scott Ross, who's always fun to listen to. I hope you'll tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Matt
Nair on Air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
So you can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.